names, and?
Georgia Montford Norman and Leif Jensen Norman.
When did they come to Kodiak?
1944.
1944.
Actually, my dad came in 43.
Did you come with them?
Mm-hmm.
What was your first trip like? How did you come?
My mother and I came on the Alaska steamship Denali. It was a troop ship that there was maybe three women on the ship. We brought a Persian cat with us that got loose in the hold of the ship, and we had to go down into the hold of the ship to look for it. They let us take us or her into our stateroom, and linens were at short supply, and she got on my mother's pillow and had a little accident on the pillow, so my mother slept without a pillow the rest of the trip.
How long did it take you?
10 days.
And you started from where?
Seattle.
Seattle to Kodiak, mm-hmm. only took 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem like very long to me. When you traveled for your first time, besides the cat, did you see any marine life or anything like that? What were your impressions about that?
Actually, I don't remember that at all. That it was, my memory's more of the troop ship, the blackouts at night and stuff like that.
Why were there blackouts?
Well, we were at war.
That was still during the
mm-hmm.
war.
And mm-hmm.
was your dad coming here to be in the service, or?
No, he was in the First World War. He was too old for the Second World War. Larry Wagliner started the drugstore here, and my dad was a pharmacist and pharmaceutical salesman for Park Davis, and he and Larry knew each other in Seattle, so my dad came to help him open his second store and go into partnership with them.
Where was that store? Was it still in the same place?
No. Uh-uh. It was, Burt's Drugs was the first one, and it was up on the corner of the main street across from Kraft's Yard. And then the second one was down the street, try to think of how I could tell you where it was. Well, anyway, probably a block down the street, and it was walking your drug, the second one.
Hmm. Where did you live when you first came here?
The house that's next to Gary Stevens' house now. It was called a bank house. And the only way we got a place to live is my mother agreed to go to work as the president of Bank of Kodiak's secretary. And she did that, Mr. Torgerson. And we lived in that house for probably the first 2 or 3 years that we were here.
So housing was pretty tight then?
Very, yeah.
Were the Aleutian homes here then?
No.
What was the hardest thing maybe that would be an adjustment for you? Were you in high school age or?
No, I was in the fourth grade. And it was a different world. It really was. The some of the kids were just awful streetwise when I first came, and like I said, it was a different world.
Where was the school then?
About where Kodiak Motors is now. There was a hillside there, and it was a big, big white building, two-story. There was two rooms downstairs. One was a high school room, and the other was a junior high room. And then later on, there was Quonset huts around the outside of the building for some other high school classes.
But what was the enrollment? Do you remember if you had double classes? Or?
Well, Betty Springhill just passed away, and I was in her 6th and 7th grade class in one room,
mm-hmm.
the first year or second year she taught here.
I'm from a small town too, and what, we had 50 in high school, was that?
There was 64 in high school when I graduated,
right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Right. What, were there any natives living in town then? Or
did they? Yeah, the white kids in town were minorities. You know, that there was just not very many families from outside with kids my age at that time.
Mm-hmm. And were there sports in the high school then?
When I was in high school, the only sport we had was basketball.
Did they travel off the island?
Yeah, I was one of the first cheerleaders that they ever had. And when I was a freshman, we went to, oh gosh, Anchorage. And in our senior year, the girls went with the team again, and we went to Anchorage. And we were Class B champions for, gosh, many, many years. We had a really good basketball team.
What did Class B mean? Was that then?
It was school enrollment, size of the school.
So you didn't play the Anchorage schools then?
Not until much later, yeah, that we played the smaller towns.
What were the stores like then? What kind of groceries and that did you have?
There was Kraft's and Erskine's. There was two stores.
Erskine's, mm-hmm. I've heard that name.
They were down now where the ferry dock is. You look at the old pictures, they had a whole group of buildings down there. And Mr. Erskine lived in what now is the museum.
Okay. Did your family do any hunting and fishing?
No.
Okay. Was the Navy here then?
There was Navy, Army, Marines, Coast Guard. I couldn't tell you what the population of the bases were, but it was fantastic, the amount of military personnel that were here.
I'm just now learning that in class. They had a base out on the Buskin?
Well, there was Navy base out there. There was Fort Greely, which was moved, torn down and moved to right outside of Fairbanks at Della Junction. Spruce Cape was active, Fort Abercrombie, there was men on Long Island, all over, Chiniac.
Because the war was still going on.
Mm-hmm.
After the war, how long did it take before they kind of dismantled things?
Well, I really don't remember when. I know that the Army base was still there when I was a senior in high school. Marines and Navy till the time that the Coast Guard took over. So it really, you know, it's always been an active military place.
How did the townspeople react with the military people?
It was a friendly thing that they had dances at Blinn's Hall that I remember when I was a little girl, Russian New Year's and things like that, and very active USO, and a lot of the ladies would go to dances out on the base. The younger, you know, single gals.
USO.
Yeah.
Entertaining the troops.
Mm-hmm. And there was a USO downtown in Kodiak till after I graduated from high school.
See, this is all new to me.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this class. What was the medical care like then?
We had Dr. A. Holmes Johnson, and there was another doctor in town, which I can't remember his name. He kind of liked to drink a little bit, if I remember correctly. The hospital was there when we came, and that's where my children were both born too.
In the hospital?
Yeah, which is now Mental Health Center.
Oh, so the hospital has moved? It's a different place?
Yeah, the Griffin Memorial is down there where the Standard Oil tanks are, where the public health has their office. That used to be the hospital. And the Grey Nuns staffed it.
Well, is that how the Grey Nuns were
mm-hmm.
first here then?
Yeah.
When did they start the school?
Well, there was a kindergarten. I know about the time that Tom and I got married that our preschool thing, maybe kindergarten, in part of the old church, because the first time Tom and I went to Mass together, he sat on one of these little kindergarten chairs because the church was so full on Christmas Eve.
And the church was downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right next to the Russian Orthodox Church.
And the Grey Nuns were nurses rather than teachers?
They were nurses.
How many were in the convent?
Well, they didn't have a convent as such. They lived downstairs in the basement of the hospital. I think there were 6 or 7 of them when they first came.
How do you think, or how do you, what is your judgment of the medical care, and has it improved? And
oh yeah, it's come, but you know, we were lucky to have a doctor the caliber of A. Holmes, and Bob, you know, carried the standard all by himself for years and years and years and worked hard. In my estimation, we were fortunate to have
Dr. Bob.
Dr. Bob, yeah.
Did you experience the tidal wave?
Tom and I were in Fairbanks. He was a state trooper, and the earthquake was felt really a lot up there. But my folks lost everything they had in the earthquake, and they ended up, my mom was 64, my dad was 66, and they had my dad's speed graphic camera in their car, and that's all they had, and started all over after. Rebuilt in the whole, you know.
Their home and their business?
They lived in the building where the business was, where Normans were, and the water went over the top of the building and came in the back door, the front door held. But the force of all the water, it picked it up and moved it out into the middle of the street. And we operated out of that building, picked it up and put it back on its foundation for 2 years, and there was holes in the walls. I mean, you didn't need to open a window because there were so many holes in that building.
Was that down where the waterfront?
Our old building was about where mailboxes, etc. is now. That was the about where our building is now, the theater used to be, and the main street ran right about in the middle of all of that.
So the little mall-like thing wasn't...
No. Mm-mm. No, there was a main street, and that, and then another kind of little street that went up on down to Erskine's dock. Hard to explain.
So how did the town adjust? Did they pull together?
Oh, yeah. And we came back. I think it was the spring of 65, and the town was still an awful mess, but everybody, you know, all of my friends said how if they took people in during the tidal wave, and you know, everybody pooled their food and worked together.
Is that when they moved the schools and all that?
Well, the first new grade school was already built on Reznov, which is now, what is it, junior high? That was the first new grade school, yeah.
That's the oldest building.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
How do you think the oil spill affected Kodiak? Was it anywhere as much as the tidal wave?
Well, I was surprised at the effect that it did have on Kodiak, you know. It inflated the economy. I mean, the oil companies did that. There was just no doubt about it. And then when that money was gone, you know, I don't think the town has really come back since then. You know, the fishing hasn't been as good. Of course, times have changed too. But I really think it was really hard on Kodiak. A lot of people don't realize it.
Did the oil actually get here?
Oh, yeah. It was all over, all around. Even out on our beach, which we call our beach, off where our cabin is at Chiniac, it was oiled.
How did they handle the cleanup? Was that?
Well, I honestly don't know. Of course, they employed a tremendous amount of people. They had people swabbing beaches and boats, you know, hauling the dead birds out and all of this, but I really wasn't involved in any of it, so I really couldn't speak with any kind of assurance that I'm right of what they did.
Do you think they'll ever get the money that's promised?
There's a lot of them that would like it. I don't think so.
True. How did your business of Norman's get started?
Well, my dad and Larry Wagreiner had a big fight, and they never spoke to each other ever again, neither he or his wife, yeah. And Helsel's Photo Shop was for sale, that the guy that owned it got drafted, and that had bought it, the Helsels were gone. And so he took my dad in as a partner, and then Daddy eventually bought him out, and then they bought Totem Igloo Curio and Gift Shop, which is Charlie Madsen's gift shop, and that's how Norman started.
Is it still in the same little place it is now?
No. That everything you see down there wasn't there in 1964. That it's, we built that building after the tidal wave, courtesy of SBA, which we almost have paid. And I think we're the only original landlord down there besides Ben Ardinger that's still in business.
So do you own your little store, or do you own?
We own the building.
The whole building?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where does your dad live?
Upstairs. There's a nice apartment upstairs.
How old is he now?
Daddy will be 97 in December.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know your dad was still alive.
Yeah, yeah. That he broke his hip right after his 90th birthday, and he never really has come back from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but his memory is alert most of the time.
Well, that's great. Is he still a help for you anyway in the business?
No. No, he hasn't been in a long time. But he sure as hell directs the family. Or at least he wants to.
Do you get a chance to go to the villages with your business?
No. I went around the island on Mr. Von Scheele's Shuyak in 1948, and that's the last time that I've ever been around the island. I've been to Old Opagnac since the tidal wave, but I've never seen Port Lions since it's been built.
Have you ever gone on the pilgrimage to
Not
Father
the pilgrimage.
Herman?
I've gone with other people to Spruce Island and walked up to where Father Herman was buried, but never on the pilgrimage.
They do that every summer, don't they?
Yeah, every spring. That's the church that's there. It's Lynn Sloppy.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I have to do some of this stuff.
I think you'd enjoy that. Mm-hmm. I would, yeah.
What do you think the business the employment opportunities, have they changed through the years?
Oh, yeah, a lot. You know, there's just so many more businesses, and federal and state agencies have expanded so much. That's really amazing.
What do you think about the IFQ?
Well, there again, I'm not mixed up in the fishing industry very much, but certainly everybody is against it, and I'm sure they're right that it isn't fair. But I can't speak with any, you know.
There was an interesting thing on Channel 9. They had recorded that.
Did they?
Protest.
Well, nobody told me yesterday that you were supposed to close your businesses, and I started looking around right afternoon, and I said, why is everybody? So I turned off our lights. They're closed until 1, but I felt like a yo-yo because we're the only one with lights on downtown.
It was kind of a nice little bit commentary on the news.
On 9?
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to watch it.
Well, can you think of anything that I've forgotten to ask you about old-time Kodiak?
Well, it was a wonderful place to live. I have lifelong friends that were still friends from the time that I was in the fourth grade. Tom came in the Navy, and I met him on a blind date. and we were married 2 years later. And both of our sons were born here and went outside and went to school and came back, and they both live here. So we have four generations here right now in Kodiak. I can't really think of anything, you know, you could go on, but yeah, some of it is neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, provided the tape recorder works.
Okay, well, that was painless. Tom said he did this.
Oh.